We work with foster kids from 15 to 25. We walk them through a career path program. We use a purpose projects curriculum, and then we have a financial services curriculum. And once the kid goes through the curriculum, they get a certificate. Once they have that certificate of completion, they can then go apply for Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, you know, the big box stores, and at least gets them through the process of getting interviewed.
Welcome to the Legacy Roadmap Podcast, your ultimate guide for creating a lasting legacy as an entrepreneur. Whether you're an ambitious entrepreneur or a seasoned business owner, our podcast offers insightful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and experts who have navigated the path of legacy creation. We explore topics that matter to you: personal responsibility, financial growth, leadership, and succession planning. Our goal? To equip you with practical insights and strategies that help you transition from simply running your business to building a legacy. Join us each week as we delve into purposeful discussions aimed at positively impacting future generations. Your journey towards leaving a lasting legacy starts right here, right now. Let's dive in.
Does your business serve homeowners? If so, you need to know about HOA.com, the number one referral network for professionals who serve homeowners. And we're looking for quality contractors and home service pros that we can recommend and refer to homeowners in your area. Not only will you get promoted on the HOA.com website, you'll get business from other certified pros and premier pros in your market. These people serve homeowners every day, so we help you build referral partnerships that keep referrals coming to your business for years to come. Go to HOA.com/pro now and get started.
Are you an entrepreneur or business owner? If so, you need to know about the Achieve Systems Business Building Membership. We are one of the best referral-based communities that wants to refer you. We help generate you thousands of leads per year. We also provide you an incredible mentorship program that has won many awards. We don't stop there. We have 60 plus opportunities to take your business to the next level, like authoring and publishing books and many, many more. Go to AchieveSystemsPro.com and get started today.
Do you want to make more money in your business? Most business owners focus on building revenue. That's not enough. Building profits is what feeds your family, and almost no business owner understands how to build profit without building revenue. I can show you with near-perfect accuracy the exact business growth strategies that will generate the most revenue for your business in the shortest amount of time, focused on building profit. Learn more at bizlife.coach. Our guest this week is a dynamic leader and seasoned entrepreneur. Kevin Lisitsyn is driven by a relentless pursuit of excellence and a commitment to community development. Rooted in the Central Valley of California by his parents, Cindy and Keith, the son of a Russian immigrant, Kevin has been shaped by principles of diligence, resilience, and the importance of impactful legacy. Kevin's career highlights his role as a catalyst for change, enhancing productivity and profitability across sectors. He owns a farmer's insurance agency in Fresno, providing tailored insurance solutions. His entrepreneurial spirit, shown through co-ownership of Rocket Dog Gourmet Brats and Brew and co-founding Summer Fox Brewery, diversifying his portfolio and cementing his status as a visionary. Kevin Lisitsyn and Robert talk about impacting a community through connection. Kevin and his wife connect with foster children to help them with a foundation of love. Kevin connects with inmates, giving them hope and sharing life principles. He desires to leave a legacy of love by touching lives with hope. Kevin, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm excited to have this conversation. Just looking forward to sharing the impact you're making in the world.
Thanks for having me, Robert. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, obviously the name of the show is Legacy Roadmap. And so we want to talk a little bit about leaving a legacy. Proverbs 13:22 says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And you and I, both being men of faith, I know that that's important to you. So let's talk a little bit about the impact you're making and why that legacy is important to you.
Yeah, I heard a proverb one time, a Chinese proverb that said, plant a tree today so your future generations can enjoy the shade. And that's always been something that has rested heavy on my shoulders, just knowing that, hey, what I do today matters because of not what I will receive from it, but what my family will receive from it in the future. And I've been fortunate enough to have a family that's laid that for me. So I've been able to grow from the work and effort of my family.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let's talk about legacy on the business side, on the entrepreneurial side. Let's go all the way back to before you became an entrepreneur, because I feel like your family's growth pressured you into being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like my very first job was actually reselling Airheads in junior high.
Nice.
I remember my mom was a Hallmark representative, and she would bring home a box of Airheads and I took a bunch, and she's like, you can't eat that many Airheads. Where are they all going? I go, Mom, I'm reselling them. And I showed her all this extra money I had, and she's like, holy cow, there you go. So I think I've had some jobs where I worked for supermarkets and I worked for a car company, but I've always been intrigued by the operational side of things. And I've always been frustrated by the limit that working for an hourly job gives you. So being able to present an effort, put that effort forward, create a pathway for that effort to have an income by a product, and then being able to put people around me to help enhance the things I'm weak in, to be able to grow financially, and ultimately to be able to give me freedom with my schedule to do the things I really want to do, which is volunteer and with youth, then it works. And me not being scared of that effort has been very plentiful for our family. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the point you bring up is kind of points back to the sales type's career. And I think obviously people that have a sales person bent in them are good entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs need to be salesmen, right? They need to sell their belief in themselves and sell their, not just product, but really they're selling themselves a lot of the time. But I think you brought up the idea of being able to switch from that dollars for hours to a different model, pay for performance, and sales is the original and still the longest lasting pay for performance job. And I think entrepreneurship, of course, is another level, right, of pay for performance. Mm-hmm. And some in our culture don't like that idea, right? They just want to get paid, and they want everybody to get paid the same, and they want everything to be fair and equitable. and yet we see it in professional sports, we see it in actors in Hollywood, that pay for performance is really where you can have a much bigger impact.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, because I own restaurants or have owned restaurants, I currently own breweries, and I now own an insurance agency. I have a special dynamic of working with different groups of people throughout the course of my day, and how they think, and what drives them. It takes a unique person to want to jump and then learn to fly, if I may, on opening up a business. You don't really know all of the steps when you say, okay, it's time to go. You again, like I think I'll emphasize, similar to Jesus, right? When he sent his disciples out, or they were sent out, it was in groups of two. It wasn't to hit more people, go out to hit more land. It was, the right people to be together and to be able to process together and have accountability, and their own little small mastermind group of traveling and talking about situations throughout the day, so they're not having to do it on their own. I think for me, that's been the biggest the biggest key that I see at people that fail versus people that win. People that win are generally extremely humble and have the ability of, and whether they admit it or they don't, they have to the public, they have a team around them. If not a spouse, that's really strong, a definite business partner, if not both. And I see that constantly when I see businesses fail, you know, or someone get burnt out, you know, if that's even a word that you can quantify, it's a person that's trying to do it on their own. And that's usually a really hard battle because there's just so many elements coming against you at all times.
I really like that example of the disciples going out two by two. And I think about one of the areas that entrepreneurs really have to reframe their stories is about failure, right? And and our culture has started to, I don't know if it's the story we tell ourselves or the limiting belief about failure, where, you know, failure is like an ending point and a stopping point. But in this personal development space, and certainly in entrepreneurship, you start to realize that failure is a learning process. And I thinking about the disciples and those conversations they could have on the road of, you know, I heard you say this to the crowd, and man, did they not like that? maybe you should say it this way or something. That's an interesting dynamic to think about, the power of having two learning together and growing together and being able to work on their conversation together like a mentor or a coach.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the point, right? And also then you're able to enjoy things together. You're able to go to lunch together, go to dinner together, and talk about your business together. And there's just a lot more joy that you can find, you know, go on vacations. I always look forward to our trip. I have two business partners that are married, my wife and I, and then there's Gary and Bethany, and the four of us own the breweries together. We own the restaurants together. My wife's joining my path in the insurance agency. However, I have three really strong agents that are running the operation, which has given me the freedom to be on this call. And so I have a lot to be thankful for because of the people that you put around you. And then that's the other twist, right? It costs money to have the right people. And so it's also an investment in yourself to believe that, hey, you can do this, put the right people around you to do the things that are slowing you down. I believe in the Rainmaker system. So I go out and do all of the activities to be able to bring the business in. The team then works on the quotes, works on the service side for the insurance business, for the brewery and the restaurant. I mean, my business partner and I, we laid tile when we first started. We were literally, I remember during 2020, working from my computer, running quotes while I was pouring beer because we weren't able to have employees around us while we were open. And so, but the more, you know, the rent was still due, that check needed to be sent out, the bill for the $700,000 of equipment in the warehouse needed to get paid. Those folks didn't care. And so, getting together with my business partner and really just striving forward through that, I like to say going through that barrier of disbelief and just saying, you know, today I'm going to give it my 100% and that'll be enough. And it absolutely always has been.
I like that that work ethic. The other power of two, you know, earlier in scripture in the Old Testament talks about where two people are working together. You know, two is better than one because one can pick the other one up when they fall down. One can keep the other one warm when it's cold at night. And
oh yeah,
and that gets used in weddings and other places for relationships, but it was really a work relationship. It was more like the disciples. And so I think about the fact that you've had these partners and the power of a partner to pick you up. And I know in both of our cases, we both have encouraging spouses that understand the ebbs and flows of business ownership. And maybe we've sacrificed a little bit of the stability of, you know, some extra money in the bank account versus, you know, and I have a spouse that doesn't panic, right? She doesn't freak out. She's not like, you know, how are we going to pay the bills or how are we going to do these kind of conversations? She still wants to know, right? She wants the security, but she also understands that we're on a different, you know, sometimes we're on a different cycle, and
yeah,
it feels it doesn't have the same security feel of a regular paycheck popping in on the 15th and the 30th, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't, for sure.
We'll be right back after this short break. Do you need an increase in revenue? We help business owners find $100K in 90 days and create a roadmap for implementation. There's no pressure, just a chance to get some assistance and clarity. Scheduling is easy. Simply visit ownitcall.com and select a time that works for you. It's time for you to focus on doubling the 20% that creates 80% of your revenue. Welcome back. Let's get back to more greatness.
And that power of a spouse that's willing to not just understand those things, but pick us up when we're down. Like, you know, you have a bad day and none of the sales calls go through. All you're talking to all day long is idiots. And it doesn't seem like, man, this was a terrible idea. Why'd we get into this business?
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to go home and have a conversation with a supportive spouse that says, you know what? So what, right? You can get up tomorrow and we do it all again and it'll all be okay.
Yeah, it's key. It really is key, I think. And also bringing that, the not only the spouse, but the family into the mix, you know, depending upon when you're watching this around August or September, you know, you should always be, you know, looking at doing your goals for the following year. And my kids look forward to planning what we're going to do into the following year. And so, you know, they know that when I'm gone for sometimes 3 or 4 days out of town at a time, or I'm gone for, you know, they'll get home till 7 or 8 o'clock at night, not every day, but when it happens, they know where I'm at and what I'm doing. And that helps out a lot. It really does help out a lot. And then time restricts, you know, we have a time, in this case, 9 p.m., no more business. So we have family after 9 and that's it. And so, you know, we put little boundaries around to be able to help keep us aligned with our ultimate goal.
Boundaries are so important. And so protecting the things that matter to you. You mentioned planning with your kids and planning your coming year. Tell us a little bit more about what that looks like.
Yeah, I think a powerful tool that we have in our head is the way we think. And if you always have like a vacation planned, you know, mentally, you can be looking forward to that. That thought of going to Hawaii or going to Alaska or going just with the family up maybe to Lake Tahoe or, you know, wherever that might be for you, it helps you get through some of the challenges that I have throughout the day. And so sometimes my wife and I will go on trips and my kids are not involved in those trips. And so when we come home, they'll talk about, you know, can't wait for that trip into Santa Cruz or that trip that we have planned to Shaver Lake or, you know, San Diego, wherever we're going to go that year. And so the kids have something really powerful to look forward to. And that's been really fun. I remember, oh gosh, last year, my daughter was graduating junior high. And I said, hey, if you have this GPA when you graduate, cumulatively GPA when you graduate, we'll take you wherever you want in the country. And so she hit that goal and I was like, okay, now we got to figure that out. But it was a fun trip. It wasn't a very, turned out to be just everything turned out to be perfect. But the conversations I had with her through that process were very healthy and it really helped her feel like, then when we got to go, you know, she got to really experience that getting in an airplane and traveling and going somewhere. It was just a big win. So I highly recommend it to any entrepreneur or any folk that's out there. Like, you don't have to plan that trip for yourself, for the family. Like, just sit down with your family and plan it out. So they have, maybe they will think of a park or something that you said that you're not remembering. And so it always ends up working out.
Nice. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your family. Obviously, you and your wife have made some choices to impact the world in a I don't want to say a more meaningful way, but in a way that not every family chooses.
Yeah, I appreciate that, especially how you asked that question. That's humbling. For me and my wife, so we met at church, and I was a junior high leader, and she sang worship. My junior high kid asked me, dared me to get her phone number. I actually met my wife through a dare, and on her foot was a little tattoo, and it was in Hebrew, and I couldn't figure out if it was a tattoo or if it was, she wore a lot of long dresses, and so I couldn't tell if it was one of those, just kind of a, like, I just didn't know what it was. It ended up being Hebrew in bondservant, meaning bondservant. So she did a lot of world traveling with her music, and I also did a lot of inner city ministry work. And so ironically, when we got together, she had a desire to not have her own kids. I also had the desire to not have my own kids. And we found that out shortly before we were getting married. So it's cool to see God work in those ways. It was very emotional for me. It was very emotional for Sarah, and ended up, you know, being a beautiful thing. So 10 years into our marriage, we decided to foster adopt. And so we have two, we had foster adopted two of our oldest are foster adopted. And we have since then been involved in foster care. I'm highly engaged with foster kids in the county I live in. Been elected to sit as a representative for one of our county supervisors to oversee a department within the county. Have my own nonprofit that works with foster kids from 15 to 25. And that's really been like our why. You know, a lot of people talk about, Gary Keller wrote a book about it, like, you know, have, what's your powerful why? And so for us, it's been volunteering and giving back. We've given thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars to support local nonprofits for homelessness, youth homelessness, to get people off the street and to get them into career paths. And so, that's been kind of our mission for a long time. And I'm seeing it grow in other areas. And it's been fun to kind of watch how God's using me right now. And I'm really excited about our future. But that's where we're at. We do a lot of volunteering.
Well, definitely want to clarify for folks, that business owners that might not know the difference, help us understand the difference between foster kid and adopt, and how those two, and what a foster adopt, you know, means.
Yeah. So when a child is removed from their home, the county removes them from their home. The social worker at the county then starts monitoring that child because they could be reunited with their parent, a biological mom and dad. During that time, if the foster, if the bio parents do not qualify or aren't capable of receiving that child back, and there's no family to take that child back because the county will definitely look for that first, then the child then becomes available for adoption. But the kid stays as a foster child, or they would be an orphan. So they stay as a foster child in the system. They stay in either a group home or within a family that is just a foster home. You could do that. Any county, I'm sure all counties have those options where you get paid by the county to basically monitor or parent a child. And there's different age groups that you qualify for. Then you have a parent who's like, hey, I don't want to have my own children, or cannot, or just feel called. And they will then be, they'll work either with the county or with an FFA, their foster organizations, foster family organizations that'll work with a family looking to adopt. So then you have the adoptive kid in the county somewhere, and then you have the family looking to adopt. They both have social workers. You have someone that works for you, which is what I would recommend, what we did. And then we look out and we foster the child through the court process, the procedures, proceedings, to then a judge will release the child to you. And at that point, that's usually, our process was 9 months. It can vary. And that will, then now you're adoptive. So hence foster adopt.
Nice. Appreciate the explanation. So let's talk a little bit about your nonprofit, and what are your nonprofit's goals? What are you what is the impact you're trying to make through your nonprofit?
Yeah. So I, being involved in the community, I just am aware that there's a need for a little bit of like, what I like to call it is like a crazy aunt or a crazy uncle situation where the, somebody that is licensed, the nonprofit's called Diligent Heart. We became a 501c3 last year. And so we work with foster kids from 15 to 25. We walk them through a career path program. We use a purpose projects curriculum. And then we have a financial services curriculum. And once the kid goes through the curriculum, they get a certificate. Once they have that certificate of completion, they can then go apply for Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, you know, the big box stores, and at least gets them through the process of getting interviewed. And my goal is to get, or our goal, excuse me, is to get them interviewed a couple of different times so they can get familiar with the rejection, get familiar with the questions, get familiar with the follow-up is the overall goal. And then they're able to get a job. And then the Diligent Heart will work with the child to get them to and from their job and help them through that process, ultimately to be able to get them into a home. And here's my ultimate goal with Diligent Heart was, first of all, to bring awareness that there is just such a need for mentorships over 15 years of age. The child generally does not get adopted, so they don't have a parent. I mean, I couldn't imagine that emotion of just being like, man, what, how did I get stuck in this line?
Well, like you talked about earlier, right? The power of two and not having somebody to ask. I mean, I think about, I have a fantastic relationship with my father and had a great relationship with my mother, and the number of times that I would call, even as an adult, and even my own children who are both adults now, and the number of times that they call in a week, in a day to ask simple questions. And I think about a child who's now an adult trying to figure out the adult world and has nobody to ask. There's no one for them to call. That's a huge, they're missing out on opportunity because they don't have an answer and they don't know where to look for the answer. And so that's an incredible problem that you're solving, an opportunity that you're creating.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
So obviously raising awareness, obviously creating job opportunities. I think we had a conversation a little bit on the entrepreneurial side as well, like giving some entrepreneurial skill set in addition to basic life, job, financial skill sets.
Yeah, I wrote a book a long time ago called The Science Behind Prospecting. It's basically a tool that I've used to be able to create the businesses that I have. Majority of it's around sales, you know, and it all comes from the contribution of the foundation of contribution, of coming from contribution, basically. And there's just seven different pillars that are within that that thought process, from follow up, from how to get involved, from just a whole slew of different things, getting prepared, staying prepared, constantly being learning. You know, I read 40, 50 books a year. I'm constantly reading, or generally I see reading, but I do read them and also listen to them. I no longer listen to the radio. I actually cut podcasts out, just too much negativity. So I like to keep things coming in. My inbound is generally constructive, something I can listen to and grow in. And then I've been challenged by some friends to get some fiction books this year. So I want to add a fiction book this year to my list. But ultimately, just being around the kids to be able to show them the answer questions, so they're not going to YouTube, and just being around them. And then on the entrepreneurial side, everyone has their own path. Like one gentleman I know is a CPA. His biggest client in 2022 was a handyman, and he works, and he has me and a lot of other very successful people in our community. And the most profitable person he had in his, or profitable people and businesses consistently, were handymen, people that go to homes and just fix things for people. And so you don't have to necessarily graduate from Harvard or Yale, which those could have their own great benefits. You can just be somebody who has the ability of wanting to help people and fix things and find yourself becoming very financially very successful from doing that.
Absolutely. The trades, especially, you know, home service providers, everything from landscaping to fixing, you know, fixing the little stuff around a house, right? Painting the chips or fixing a door. Yeah. A lot of those things that many homeowners don't have the skill set to do or don't want to do can be a very lucrative trade and doesn't require any licensing.
So, no, under $500, there's not much to it. You know, when you start getting above that, you get general contracting and other options. But if you want a simple life, you want a simple job, you want to do something on your own, have the power of managing your own schedule, and maybe even, you know, franchising something that could be a new opportunity. It's, you know, if it's not already done, around that space, there definitely is opportunity. Nice. 'Cause there's scarcity. There's not a lot of people doing it. And there's definitely a lot of need.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you taking the time today. We end every episode with our guests sharing their words of wisdom. So for those entrepreneurs or people thinking about becoming a business owner, what would you share?
Well, how I go to sleep at night, how I wake up in the morning have been pivotal to the way I think and what I've been able to accomplish. And so spend time journaling at nighttime, spend time journaling when you wake up. Affirmations are not for the weak. Affirmations are for the strong. And there's different styles of affirmations. I wish I would have gotten coaching along before I started getting coaching, and wish I would have involved an outsider to be able to help us process information. We would have gone a lot further faster. And now we're a lot stronger of a foundation because we've allowed that. So don't be scared of doing those things, and don't do it alone.
Kevin, thanks so much for joining me today. Those were wonderful words, and I appreciate the impact you're making and appreciate your heart for other people.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning into this episode brought to you by the power of intentional decisions that lead to massive action. These aren't just buzzwords, they're qualities that can help you take control of your life and build a successful 6 or 7 figure business. To support you on this journey, we're offering one of our most popular books, Fish Out, Leads In, 52 Fresh Ideas for Lead Generation. You can download it free at enjoybizlife.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please show us some love by liking, subscribing, and leaving a review. But most importantly, share it with someone who needs to hear it.